I recently recorded a podcast on marshalling and competitions and interviewed Chris Trow, the developer of Fast Retrieve and Retrieve Manager for the PwC and the British Opens. He explained how Fast Retrieve works in that podcast, but we also had an interesting discussion on how future technological developments will assist in competitions, making them safer and more enjoyable. Here he talks about live tracking, spots, and how you as a pilot can help make it work. He begins by explaining a little bit more about how Fast Retrieve works.
And the idea behind it really was that we centralise all the information, all of the incoming pilot messages are processed as far as possible automatically, which speeds up the whole process of locating people. And then we started building in things like extra safeguards, status monitors so that we know when somebody's on the ground, when they're on a vehicle. The final idea behind the whole thing really is that we've got this matrix of coloured squares, and we're looking for the last red one to disappear. And obviously, if we get down to a few red ones, we can start saying, well, where are these pilots? And that's how we've ended up in situations where we know we've got a man missing. And we know much earlier than we would have done in the old days.
You've integrated it with live tracking now as well, haven't you?
I have now, yes. Live tracking actually has completely changed the way that we do everything. I think the first time we used it, which was in drama in Greece in the World Cup, we just looked at each other and said, well, there is no going back now. This is definitely the way forward. And it does make a big difference to what we can do. It increases safety. It reduces retrieve times. So it's a good thing all round.
Such a brilliant thing for people at home. And it's made the competition so attractive.
Well, absolutely. All of a sudden, we can actually watch a paragliding race, whereas what we used to see was a takeoff and whoever came into goal.
Every pilot's got somebody watching at home, haven't they?
Yeah, exactly. So. I've had people tell me they were coming into goal in Portugal some years ago, and one girl in particular was spiralling down from 2,000 metres, and she said her phone just wouldn't stop beeping from congratulations texts. So, you know, she was getting her congratulations before she'd even landed, which is fantastic.
I've landed and had SMSs to say, you shouldn't have gone into that gully.
No, I wouldn't have gone there, yeah.
Well, you know, sometimes live tracking's brilliant and sometimes you just want to throw the damn thing away and go, well, if you think you know so much about it, bloody compete yourself then.
Absolutely. We all know that in the pub, everybody is the ultimate football manager.
In the 2012 British Open in Pedro Bernardo, the Retrieve Channel provided a lot of entertainment for those listening in. So much so that there are now plans to stream this live alongside the live tracking info provided online for those watching at home.
It'd be interesting, actually. It was suggested to me in San Andre that wherever we have the big radio system, we should actually include the Retrieve Channel alongside the retrieval map as an audio stream. So it's a possible.
Good for, yeah, the people.
People at home. We just need a mute button at headquarters just in case there's something going on that we don't want the rest of the world hearing about.
Yes, absolutely. You wouldn't want people to listen to a rescue or a...
No, you know. By and large, we very quickly move anything like that off the Retrieve Channel. Normally, something like that kind of incident would begin anyway on the Safety Channel. So really, the Retrieval Radio Channel should be okay, but I think we'd build in the safeguard of a little bit of elevator music just in case. But it's an interesting idea. I quite like the idea of streaming it alongside the map, just so that anybody watching can, you know, listen to what's going on as well.
I think that'd be absolutely brilliant.
It could be amusing. So there's something possibly coming up in the future.
We had a discussion about how much competitions have changed in the last few years. Gone are the days of maps and turnpoint photographs. If you think about how much competitions have changed in that time, it's incredible.
Technology is improving everything, particularly in paragliding. It's really cool that now we, you know, those days of photographs, etc., where you'd go right the way through the night and then probably straight to the morning briefing. Certainly weren't good for the staff, they weren't good for the pilots really, because people were waiting until 4 in the morning to find out what the result was. And then along came GPSs. And now along came live trackers. And now we're looking at the next wave of live trackers probably will be good enough to do live scoring from.
Wow.
Which, that's...
What, with lead-out points and everything?
The latest batch of live trackers, which are not the units we're using now, but they store and buffer 1-second intervals, which can then be streamed out at, you know, whenever they want to, which means that the scoring system is getting as good a fix as from the pilot's own GPS. So eventually the probability is we'll actually have live scoring. By the time you land in goal, you will know exactly what your position is. There's more things on the horizon. It's all coming up.
Brilliant.
It was amusing in Mexico because we actually had the live leaderboard in the landing field, which is something that we've been trying to do more of, but it's not always that easy. where pilots were landing and just running across the ground to come and see where they'd come in.
I mean, in Mexico, sometimes 30 people were landing at the same time.
Yeah, and they were racing to get to the live leaderboard. It was quite funny to watch. But we were fortunate there. We had a massive screen and a laptop with, you know, an internet dongle, etc. So it just allowed us to put everything right there in the goal field.
It was brilliant, I have to say. You know, as one of the spectators there, it was really good. You know, the whole thing, the whole setup.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's all down really to how much equipment we can squeeze out the various organisers. But if we can get things like massive TVs in the goalfield, then all these things are possible.
Next, we talked about safety and radio use. Some people find their radio annoying when trying to concentrate on a competition task, but they're a vital part of competition safety, as increasingly are satellite tracking devices.
Yeah, for sure. And as you say, you can tune your senses out. Unfortunately, one technique that some people use for tuning their senses out is to turn the radio off, and that's never a good thing.
No.
Unfortunately, we've had, over the years, quite a number of stop tasks, and there are always a percentage of pilots who fly on, which when you've stopped a task for safety reasons, which is pretty much the only reason we would stop a task, having pilots continuing on the course is a cause of concern at the very least. We are working on ways to find a solution to that as well. There is a possibility in the future that a live tracking unit will have a display on it, and we'll be able to tell the live tracker to actually display task stopped. But that's not going to happen immediately.
No, and also that requires the pilots to actually carry the live tracker somewhere where they can see it.
What we'd like, really, and I haven't managed to hoodwink any of the manufacturers into making it yet, would be a fabric pouch that could actually go on your risers. Put the live tracker on there, or on the maybe not on the risers, but on the shoulder straps for the harness, so that it's actually a distinct distance from any of your instruments.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
We also have it from pilots saying, is it interfering with my GPS? Could it be messing my score up? The likelihood is not, but it's better really if you can say, well, if it's 3 feet away from it, no.
Yeah, but I think actually it's more likely that the GPS interferes with the live tracker rather than the other way around.
It's more I do understand the concerns when people say, well, how do I know that I missed that waypoint? It's not your live tracker messing my GPS. Which is, if your GPS didn't say you made the waypoint, you should have carried on flying, really. But you have to kind of address all the concerns. And if somebody comes up with something like that, then we do try to find ways to make sure. But we've not had any situation so far where anybody carrying one of these units has had it interfere with their score, as far as we know. Well, and also we've been using them now for, 4 years? So something like 50 competitions. And that's just us. And, you know, the Brandoners have got another 400 of these units. So between all of them, they've probably done something like 300 competitions now. I'd say they're fairly well established that they work okay.
The only thing I was thinking was I used to have to switch my mobile phone off because every time it acquired, my video would just go mental.
Mm.
And so I used to switch it off. But then I started sort of thinking, well, if I do ever have an accident, I can be tracked by my mobile signal. So I try and fly with my mobile on these days, but I keep it somewhere completely different. It doesn't make any difference to my instruments anymore. I mean, since I changed my instruments, my mobile phone doesn't interfere with them.
Right.
But,
because if your mobile was interfering with the Vireo, you'd expect the live tracker to do the same thing, because it is essentially a mobile phone. I'd like to see a live tracker now with built-in satellite. After Sun Valley, the value of satellite trackers is quite obvious. It's just that, unfortunately, the spot unit doesn't give us a lot of the data that we need. There is a new unit on the market, but it's very expensive, so I can't see we're going to persuade anybody to buy those.
It's probably worth saying to pilots, if you're going to have a competition in a really remote area, and you know they were already told they needed to fly with an oxygen system, if they'd been advised that they should also fly with a spot device, then in a sense it's up to them, isn't it, if they buy that or not?
It would be good if Spot offered the facility to rent them, but they don't. They're around £100, aren't they? But then you've got the subscription service isn't very much, actually. I think it's about €36 a year for the track. So, yes, and I would say to anybody that's going to fly in a remote region like that, this is probably a good investment.
No, but even just in terms of your kit.
Yeah.
Your spot will be the cheapest thing that's on your flight deck.
Well, yeah, and we now, as of Sun Valley, although I had the facility before, but from Sun Valley onwards now, the fast retrieve system actually tracks spots as well.
Oh, right.
So what we built in was if we haven't received a fix from the live tracker in X minutes, then it then interrogates the spot system. Great. So it's all moving forward, and I would say to anybody who's considering a spot, it's not a bad investment.
I'm definitely thinking of getting one, you know, not that I fly in very remote areas particularly, but, I mean, to be honest, you know, I mean, what's a remote area? I've gone cross-country in Wales, and if I crashed somewhere, I probably wouldn't have been found for 3 days.
No, for sure, and a remote area really is anywhere that doesn't have particularly good mobile signal. Your live tracker may work well at 2,000 metres, but once you're down in a valley, if there's no mobile signal down there, it doesn't work.
Good point.
That's where a satellite system comes into its own.
And there's plenty of areas without any coverage.
Well, especially in paragliding. By very nature of the sport that we do, you fly in remote areas.
And usually in valleys and things.
Yeah, landing in gorges and other various bits and pieces. So I would say really that over the next couple of years, I would expect to see most people start to carry a spot. They've come down in price now. They've proven themselves. Their batteries are outstanding. It will be interesting to see how the satellite tracking market unfolds.
Yeah.
They need to bring down their data costs a bit somehow, but there are ways and means of doing that. But I'd like to find a satellite company that actually wants to talk about paragliding. One of the problems that we have with the spot feed is that it doesn't include altitude. It doesn't include speed or bearing or anything like that either, but that doesn't actually matter that much. But knowing X, Y is good, but knowing Z is quite important to us, and knowing how high a pilot was at the last fix is quite useful. But we've asked them, and each time they've said, no, we can't include that in the feed. Which seems odd to me, because it's a GPS unit, so it must surely know how high it is. It may be that the unit hasn't been designed to actually take into account the Z factor, but the very nature of a GPS fix is it's three-dimensional.
And finally, a plea from Chris for pilots to assist the competition organisers to make it all work more smoothly and safely.
One thing I do want to make clear to pilots is the need for a report back when you land. I've had quite a lot of conversations with pilots who've said, yes, but, you know, I knew I was okay, so it doesn't matter to me if I don't get a retrieve that quickly. The whole point of the report back is not so much that we know that you're safe, it's that we managed to tick you off as somebody that's not potentially unsafe anymore. And it's only by getting the number of potentially unsafe pilots down to, say, 5 or 6 that we can then start to look for those people and say, you know, what do we know about them? Are they still flying? Do we have a track? And until, you know, if you've got 20 pilots who've landed but haven't bothered to report back, then that makes 25 or 30 on the screen. We can't start looking for that many. The point is that your report back is it's your duty to your fellow pilots to allow us to then see who's still missing.
If you've had to send somebody to somebody who's just sitting in a bar somewhere, when there's somebody else hanging in a tree off
the
parachute...
Yeah, even that we've had to send somebody to them, it's more the point that until that person's reported back, then we don't know definitively who is still missing. Also, a lot of it is a misconception. They don't realise that this report back is not just about you getting retrieved. It's about you telling us that you don't need any other action taken. Because the man who's in a ditch, upside down, unconscious, can't send in an SMS, and he's the one we want to find. That's just a message that I want to get to as many people as I can. It's not that we're being awkward, it's that until we know you're safe, then we don't know who isn't.
Thanks to Chris for his insights and useful information. If you would like to listen to the Marshalling podcast, which contains a lot more information on competition technology, this can be downloaded from the podcast page at www.judithmull.net/blog.